live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Extra rush. And they're going to end the game with a sack. So the Rams, instead of sending three, dropping eight, and five, Roseboom gets credit for the sack, and the Rams have now won seven of their last nine.
And obviously that is how a very low-scoring game ended on a Thursday night football last night in San Francisco. Not much you can say about that game other than just... I mean, let's be honest, not the most, I mean, especially when you look at the way that the last game went for the Rams, right? One of the higher scoring games this entire season. They scored, what was it? They scored 86 points combined in that game. So yeah, I mean, it was definitely a night and day contrast between this game and the game for the Rams on Sunday against the Bills that they won 44-42. They win this one 12-6, no touchdowns scored by either team, right? So it's not like San Francisco scored a touchdown and missed the extra point. No, they just all field goals. LA hitting three in the fourth quarter. Rookie kicker Josh Cardy coming up big for them with those four field goals, three of which were in the fourth quarter to win this game 9-6. It reminds me of I think it actually was the Rams in the Super Bowl playing the Patriots a few years ago and just how boring of a Super Bowl that actually was. The final score was like 10-6, I think. And it was like, it was an all field goal game until in the second half the Patriots found a way to win that game by scoring a touchdown and like I said, go on to win it like 10-6. It was very reminiscent of that without the touchdown. It was just all field goals. Really, neither quarterback was kind of lighting it up last night. I mean, you look at the numbers. Brock Purdy, 14-31, 143 yards, and threw the interception. That really kind of, yes, the sack was what the final play was, but that interception really was what kind of did it in. And then also, Matthew Stafford on the other side, 16-27 for 160 yards. Again, obviously, if there was no touchdown scored, neither quarterback had passing touchdowns. It was just a sloppy, nasty. If you're a fan of defense, you probably liked last night's game, right? If you were a fan of last night's game, you're probably a former defensive player or a former defensive coach, or you just enjoy the defensive side of the ball when it comes to football. I don't know what else to tell you as far as that. It was a snooze fest of a game last night. Not a lot happening. But if you've got some things you want to share about it, maybe something that you saw, 850-623-1330. You can text or call. Again, it's 850-623-1330. One thing that did happen in the game that kind of is the big talking point from the game is that I'm trying to choose my words carefully here because I don't want to – you never know the internal battle that somebody's dealing with, right? So I don't want to sit here and go after Devondre Campbell and say some of the other words I've seen compared to him on social media, whether it's quitter or loser or even George Kittle referring to the move as selfish. You know, you never really know what battle somebody is fighting on the inside. There could be a little anxiety, depression type thing there. You know, you never know. But also at the same time, you don't walk off the field in the middle of a game after refusing to go in because they're playing somebody else a little bit more than you. Right? Dre Greenlaw is coming back from an injury. They're trying to work Dre Greenlaw back into the game, and they're starting to play him a little bit more than they are Devondre Campbell. And Devondre Campbell gets a little upset by that, and he says, you know what? Why don't you just keep playing Dre? I'm done. I'm not going to go back into the game. I'm not playing. and then proceeds to walk off the field. It's a bad look for sure. It is definitely reacting off your emotions in the heat of the moment. And look, I am somebody who is definitely trying to work on not doing that myself. Like I have a bad habit, like a lot of people do. I have a bad habit of reacting off of my emotions during the heat of the moment. And 9 times out of 10, well, honestly, let's be real about it. 10 times out of 10, when you do that, it only negatively reflects on you. And that's exactly what we saw right here. Devondre Campbell was upset. Felt like he was kind of getting done dirty by the team that he had come in. And for this season, while Dre Greenlaw's on the IR, he'd come in and put his body on the line for the team. And they had basically kind of abandoned him and given up on him because they were going back to Dre Greenlaw. And I saw, I think it was Damian Woody. I'm not quite sure who it was this morning because I just kind of saw it in passing and the sound was down. So I just kind of saw the lower third. So I'm not quite sure which one said it at the desk. But on the TV this morning, I did see somebody say that, you know, you feel like you were for rent in that situation. When you're a guy that's brought in and you start while the guy's on IR, and then the minute the guy comes back from IR, they just push him right back in. It doesn't matter how good you've been playing. You feel like a rental. Right? You were only good enough to be there because the other guy wasn't. They needed a warm body to stick at that position until their guy came back. And the minute their guy came back, you were easily discarded. Right? It'd be like dating a girl, right? You're dating this girl and you think it's going great. You think she's chose you. She's picked you to have a relationship with. But then all of a sudden, the guy she really wanted becomes single. She kicks you to the curb and goes and dates him. I'm sure that's probably very similar to how Devondre Campbell was feeling last night. But again, walking off the field, refusing to play, that's nothing but doing exactly what we're talking about here. It's about how it's not a good look for him. Right? He could have kept his mouth shut. He could have gone in there, got him a few more tackles, made a couple more plays for this team. And hey, who knows? Maybe he forces a fumble that allows the 49ers to actually go and win the game. Who knows? It could have happened. But he goes out there, he makes some plays, he builds his stock back up, and then he can request to be released or traded and go to a different team that's actually going to utilize him and use him and make him feel a little bit more useful than what he's feeling right now with the 49ers. But now that he's walked off the field, now that he's refused to play in the second half of that game last night, he has hurt his chances of going to another team, because what team, what GM, what owner is going to risk paying money for that type of behavior and that type of attitude? That's what's going to be said. And that's why if you're Campbell, you just got to keep your mouth shut. You got to play the game. And no, for anybody that wants to say it, that was not a shut up and dribble line. That was a do what's best for you. Sometimes keeping your mouth shut. And again, going back to the reacting in the heat of the moment thing, I got a bad habit of also sometimes keeping my mouth shut. All right? I got Irish and Italian heritage in me. All right? Sometimes I get loud and sometimes I get sassy right back at you. All right. Sometimes I got to learn that I need to just keep my mouth shut and not say that comment back to one up you, or not say that comment back just because I'm upset or ticked off. That sometimes it's better to not say anything at all. What is it? That was it Thumper that said that in Bambi? If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Same's here for Campbell. They try to get you to go back in the game. Go in the game. Make your plays. Put some tape together for you. And then go play for another team that's actually going to value a little bit more than what you feel like you're being valued with the 49ers. Because the opposite of that, what he ended up doing, walking off the field, refusing to play, again, that's opening up the door to be called a quitter. That's opening up the door to be called selfish. And that happened last night from his own teammate, George Kittle. George Kittle said that move was selfish. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, you can, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Let's move away now from that the snooze fest of a game on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime last night. Let's talk of some college football honor awards. Those were actually announced last night. And, of course, as you can imagine, Travis Hunter, the top recipient there at the College Football Honor Awards, took home AP Player of the Year. 26 of the 43 votes for AP Player of the Year went to Travis Hunter. So that was more than 50%, definitely unanimous decision there on that one, because it was kind of mixed up. The other remaining few votes that were left were cut in half pretty much between Ashton Jeanty and Bo Scadaboo, however you say it, the running back from Arizona State. So they split what was left. So he definitely got a unanimous decision, Travis Hunter did, winning the AP Player of the Year. Hunter also took home the Walter Camp Award as Player of the Year, along with the Chuck Benderick Award. He took on the Biletnikoff Award as Best Wide Receiver. So he got Best Wide Receiver, Best Defensive Player, two different Player of the Year awards. Ashton Jeanty did take home an award. He took home the Maxwell Award as the college football's top running back. And the Maxwell Award is for the top player. The Doak Walker Award is the top running back in the nation. So he took home both of those. So Jeanty coming away with some hardware. Cam Ward getting some hardware as well. He got the Davey O'Brien Quarterback Award, so he is the top quarterback of the season. Looks like Indiana's Kirk Cignetti is the Coach of the Year, leading his team to the college football playoffs and an 11-1 record on the season, especially after they're kind of right there with Arizona State. They were picked to finish 17th out of the 18-team Big Ten Conference, and now they are finishing 11-1 heading into the college football playoff with a big matchup coming up for them. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them moving forward in the postseason, especially after that one taste of a big game we got from them this year against Ohio State. It wasn't a good one. But Kirk Cignetti, the Coach of the Year, and it looks like South Carolina, their defensive end, Kyle Kennard, getting the Bronco Nagurski Trophy, the top defensive player there. Ohio State center Seth McLaughlin, and he's an Alabama transfer, so he started off at Alabama and transferred to Ohio State. He got the Remington Trophy. The Jim Thorpe Award went to Texas cornerback Jade Barron. Definitely well-deserved there. Georgia's Jalen Walker won the Butkus Award, and Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe took home the William V. Campbell Award as this top scholar athlete in all of college football. So lots of SEC names there tied to some awards, a couple of ACC teams and names as well tied to some awards. But again, Travis Hunter, the big winner of the night. And I think that is just going to kind of lend its hand to what we are going to see in New York City when we have the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I think it's Travis Hunter's to lose. I would love to see Ashton Jeanty. And I know, look, Ashton Jeanty, 3 yards away from having 2,500 yards on the season, 30 or 40-something touchdowns on the season. His numbers were absolutely ridiculous. There was no other running back that was close to him as far as numbers go. And I said it on Monday when we were breaking down the finalists after they were revealed, or maybe it was Tuesday when they revealed the finalist. I said it then. I'll still say it now. If I had a vote, I would definitely for sure be voting and casting a vote for Ashton Jeanty. 110% Ashton Jeanty would get my vote. And I broke it down, and I said, it's not just because of numbers, but it's because of how much he means to that team. If you take Travis Hunter away from that Colorado team, they've got other talented guys at the receiver position. They've got talented guys on defense for Colorado. You take away Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, I think Dan Lanning's proven he can win with whatever quarterback he's got back there. Did it with Bo Nix a year ago. Had success with him. Now he's got Dylan Gabriel. I think you go through the list, and honestly, I think you get to it, and Ashton Jeanty not only has the numbers, but he means the most to his team. And that's why he would have gotten my vote. But at the end of the day, I do have to think about it rationally here. And thinking about it rationally, Travis Hunter is the only option to get in to as the Heisman Trophy winner. It's going to be Travis winning the award. If Ashton Jeanty is on stage accepting the award, I get it. Because, like I said, he's definitely got the numbers. But for the most part, I just don't see anybody being able to beat Travis Hunter. And the fact that he cleaned up last night at the Honor Awards the way that he did, which also, by the way, we've got to do something with these Honor Awards. Why do we have four Player of the Year awards? Why do we have like two different Coach of the Year awards and three different Offensive Player of the Year awards? There should be one award for each category. There should be a Coach of the Year award, Player of the Year, an Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, just like the NFL does. You have your Offensive Player of the Year, your Defensive Player of the Year, your Rookie of the Year, your MVP. You have your Walter Payton Man of the Year, which is kind of for more philanthropic activities off the field. Then you have Coach of the Year. I don't know why in college football we have 20 different awards that all ultimately, five of those 20 all are for the same category. I don't know where we got to that point somehow, but we need to look at narrowing that down with the College Football Honor Awards. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the Glass Half Full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in at 9:20 here on this Football Friday. We are dwindling down and running out of Football Fridays as we are getting towards the end of the season here. We're creeping towards the last few weeks of the NFL season. We've got the bowl games getting started tomorrow. We'll talk about the bowl games, as well as we're going to have Pat Combs coming up on the show with us here in about 10 minutes or so, talking Army-Navy, Navy-Army, however you want to say it. We'll talk about that game coming up, and it's definitely going to be lots of fun this weekend with that game, with the couple of bowl games we got, with bowl season getting started, then, of course, the NFL games on Sunday. So, despite the college football season officially being over, at least for the regular season, there is still a lot of football to watch here, and you better believe we're going to talk about it here on this Football Friday on the Glass Half Full. If you want to be a part of the conversation, easy to do that, 850-623-1330. You can text or call. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Kind of touched on this yesterday, but I kind of want to go back and sit down and talk about it a little bit more. Max Fried signing an 8-year, $218 million deal with the Yankees. That is definitely a good ad. And it's one of those guys that we talked about that they could get to replace Juan Soto, right? They couldn't get the deal done with Juan Soto. And they, what was it, $718 million or something like that? That was the offer they made to Juan Soto. I think it was more like $720-ish, somewhere around in there. A number kind of fluctuates. I've seen three different numbers as far as what the Yankees offered him. But regardless, it was around that ballpark. And I think that by being able to, look, you missed out on him, but you can still add an arm like Max Fried to your starting lineup as your pitching goes. That's definitely a step in the right direction if you're the Yankees, because not only did you just go get Max Fried, but you got to think about it in the landscape of, if you were able to offer Juan Soto $700-something million for a lengthy contract, and you've only dropped $218 million on Max Fried, you've got more money to go get some other key players and other key pieces, right? I don't think the Yankees are done just yet. They got tons of money, so I'm definitely curious to see where they go next. Something else that's interesting is that Max Fried is actually the third member of the 2021 Atlanta Braves World Series champion team that has gone to play for another team. Obviously, the other two, Dansby Swanson and Freddie Freeman, they've gone on to different teams, and now Max Fried does that with the Yankees. And honestly, he's added to a Yankees lineup that is – or a rotation, I should say, not a lineup. He's added to a rotation that is it's a pretty good rotation, right? You've got Gerrit Cole. You've got Carlos Rodan. And you've got Clark Schmidt and Lewis Gill. And then you go in there and you add Max Fried into that, right? So Gill gave them 29 starts. Schmidt gave them 16. Cole gave them 17. Rodan gave them 32. And now you're adding Max Fried in the mix, who started 29 games as at the pitch on the mound. I don't know why I can't talk today. I'm excited. It's lots to talk about. Lots of fun things coming up. But yeah, Max Fried, 29 starts for Atlanta on the bump last year. Look, I'm just saying this team right here, this rotation that they are putting together, looks like they are putting a rotation together that's going to be made up of relatively healthy pitchers who stay healthy. And that's good for the Yankees, because the Yankees have always, the past few years, they've had this moment to where they've been a really good team, and then they just hit these periods where they just trail off because guys are out with injuries, right? Whether it's Judge, whether it's Stanton, whoever it may be, they go out with injuries, and they just go on these slow trajectory downward, right? And then they kind of bottom out, and then they climb back up and ultimately still make the playoffs. But also, at the same time, it's one of those things that I think if you find guys like a Max Fried that's going to stay healthy, that's going to give you 20 to 30 starts a season, I think that's pretty solid for you there in your rotation for your starting pitchers. So I like what the Yankees did with this. I think it's a great deal for them. And like I said, they still got plenty of money. They'll be able to go and add in a couple more players as well. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. North Carolina officially announcing Bill Belichick as their head coach yesterday. I was actually kind of surprised by the Bill Belichick that we got in the press conference, right? It wasn't the typical Bill Belichick we expected. There was some lighthearted moments. You know, he was talking, he was being open and answering questions, and that's really not something we've gotten from Bill Belichick in the past. And also, you know, just it seemed to be a fun interview, a fun press conference. I mean, Bubba Cunningham's cutting the sleeves off of his suit. Hope that's not an expensive suit that he was doing that to, but he cuts the sleeves off of his suit, so it looks like the hoodies that Belichick is famous for wearing on the sideline. And Belichick just kind of laid out, and he's talked about this before, but it's very interesting to hear how he wants the North Carolina program to essentially, it's going to be a minor league program. That's how he's going to run this, as if it is a minor league program, that you're going to have guys coming in there to play that have a great chance at getting into the NFL. Those are the guys he's going to go after, and he's going to basically treat that as a pipeline to get to the NFL. So I'm going to be very curious to see if that, you know, obviously it's Bill Belichick. He's going to want to win championships. I think the man would have to start putting championship rings on his toes if he won college football national championships. But it's going to be very interesting to see, does he continue to just kind of stick with that pipeline method, or does he actually compete for championships at a serious level? He says he's always wanted to coach college football, just never worked out, never got the opportunity. I know he's friends with Nick Saban. He's kind of, you know, had some conversations with other coaches before, like Steve Spurrier, some other guys who have done it at the college and NFL level, like Greg Schiano. So he's, you know, he's says he's always wanted to coach at the college level, just never could work out for him. Now he's finally got his opportunity, and we'll see what he makes of it. That is for sure. Also, another guy getting another opportunity, Dan Mullen, back on the sideline as a head coach, officially announced yesterday. I told you, I said as soon as the show is over, it was either going to be officially announced during the show or as soon as the show was over. And sure enough, about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it came official. UNLV hiring Dan Mullen to be their next head coach. Obviously, Barry Odom leaving after a 10-3 season to take the open Purdue job. So that left the hole there at UNLV. Dan Mullen is going to step in with a 103-61 record as a head football coach. And I think this is a great fit. And I think Dan Mullen is going to do a fantastic job at UNLV. And I think that's a place to where, look, He's going to have – look, the issues he had at Florida, the ups and downs that he had at Florida, he's not really going to have to deal with the UNLV fan base, right? So I think that's going to work out for him as well. Plus, he's not in the SEC. He's playing in the Mountain West. Should be pretty easy for his teams to compete and play and win inside the Mountain West and get into that spot as a G5 highest-rated conference champion and slip into the college football playoffs like we've seen Boise State do this year. So I expect big things from Dan Mullen at UNLV for sure. We'll take our time out here. When we come back, we will be joined by Pat Combs. Talk a little Army-Navy, Navy-Army, however you want to say it. It's going down tomorrow, and we'll talk about it. Coming up next right here on ESPN Pensacola.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook / ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. If you'd like to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. We will actually head to the phones now because that's where we have board member from the American Legion, Frank Morrison Post, post number 33, Pat Combs joining us to talk a little Army-Navy. And Pat, how are you doing today, man? Thank you for joining us.
What a great day to be in Pensacola, Florida.
It is. It's an absolute beautiful day, Pat. I am doing fantastic. And this looks like it's going to be a great game. I know everybody kind of was keeping an eye on both of these teams throughout the season as they were going on their incredible runs that they've had throughout the year. And a lot of people, myself included, was kind of hoping this would be a two undefeated team matchup. But it's not the case, but still looking like it's going to be a pretty good game.
I got to agree. This is one of these where this season seems to be across the college board where you've seen the quarterbacks really doing a lot of running compared to throwing the ball or running the ball. And both quarterbacks, Daly and Horvath, they've really done a tremendous job at running that ball. And it's something that's happened this season.
And it's another rarity for this year's game is the fact that the Commander-in-Chief's trophy going to be on the line between these two teams, correct?
It is. And, this is a matchup that's been in effect since 1890. If you really think about it, these two services, they're in the Constitution, right? They've always been a challenge or wanting to challenge each other. And it's just been an exciting tit for tat, essentially, where they, one beats the other this time, and it goes for about 4 or 5 years, and then the next thing you know, it shifts. So, looking at tomorrow's game, it seems like everybody thinks Navy's going to win this, but you never know. I mean, it seems like it's an evenly matched game right now.
No, absolutely, and obviously you being a former colonel in the Army, I figure we'll talk a little Army here. You look at this game, Bryson Daly, the year he's had for Army this year is definitely going to have to be a big part if they do want to bring home that Commander-in-Chief trophy and get this win over Navy and make it, what, 4 of the last 6 now over Navy?
Yep, and that's the thing is that, you look across the board, he's been doing pretty good as far as, his completion ratio. I wish it was a little bit better, but at the same time though, the competition with going, knowing that he's going up against a similar completion ratio for Navy for Horvath, I think that's going to motivate him to actually want to do more. And you got to remember is that, his offensive linemen know this and they know how important it is to get the Commander-in-Chief trophy. So, having their name and their year on that trophy is is an time-honored tradition, and they just – it's great to be able to be called champion, right? And so this is a great competition.
And, of course, speaking of being called champion, let's also talk about Army here for a second. First year in the AAC, I believe might be their first year as part of a major conference like that in college football. They go on and win, not just win the conference championship, but they were pretty dominant over Tulane, a week or two ago.
Yeah, it really was. And it was actually – that was an exciting time, and they really deserved it. They did dominate, and it was one of those where when you sit there and you see across the board, you know, what teams are really able to dominate such as that, I was just impressed with it. It's a great team. They've got a great organization. They're structured well, and their offensive capabilities and plays were just able to dominate in that game as well.
And, of course, you are listening to The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola. We are joined by board member of the American Legion, Frank Mortson, post number 33, Pat Combs. And, Pat, before we let you go, I think I know with this question which direction you're probably going to go. But, obviously, before we let you go, I got to get a score prediction of what you think is going to happen tomorrow.
I think that it's going to be won by either a field goal or a safety. By 2 points. I mean, this is a real tight game. It's going to be an exciting game, and I do want to do a little post here. Is that at the Legion, this is the downtown American Legion, downtown Pensacola, and what the great thing about this is that we're bringing in not only active duty members, we're bringing in the National Guardsmen, the reservists, all components of the services. And across the board, doesn't matter what service you're in, and we're bringing in their families as well. We're bringing in the vets. The active duty National Guard and Reservists, they get to eat free. Come on in and just sit down and enjoy the game. And, if you're going to have beers, you bring your own. We're not going to serve any. It's you get to eat free. The family members, it's a dollar. We got a lot of sponsors, everybody from Papa John's to local pizzas. To be at Bay Area Printing, that's providing the banners. So when you're going in on the not the post, but the bases, you're seeing the signs. This is just a great, clean competition. You're not seeing any, roughhousing, and it's a time honored tradition. And frankly, you always remember the 1 year that the years that Army does beat Navy and does it in a resounding effect.
There you go, Pat. So, again, if you are, like Pat was saying, if you want to go check that out, again, you can check that out. American Legion Post 33. Pat, thank you so much for joining us here, talking a little Army-Navy. And I know you're going to want to go ahead and say it, so I'll give you the floor for a little go Army beat Navy.
Well, I think it's great. Again, I think it's a great competition. It's been every year. This time it's up in Maryland. And I think next year it's going to be, it might be in Philadelphia. What the great thing about this is that both the midshipmen and our cadets, our cadets as the United States, they know it's a clean competition and they enjoy playing. And I just look forward to seeing it. I know many people that travel to the football game itself and are willing to do it. And to me, it's just being able to have those that can't afford to fly there, that they can come to the Legion and just enjoy being able to watch it, clean, fun, smokeless environment. It's just a great time. So just look forward to watching a good game.
Well, Pat, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Maybe we'll talk a little more. Maybe we'll get you back on Monday and talk about what actually happened in the game.
Oh, that would be great. Look forward to it.
All right,
Pat. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Absolutely. Thank you so much again to Pat Combs, board member of the American Legion, Frank Mortson, post number 33, joining us here to talk a little Army-Navy. Let's take another timeout. We'll be back with more Glass Half Full right after this.
This is Wayne Barr from Anderson Subaru, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. God bless.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Pensacola Hardware wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Abby at Stillwater's Day Medical Spa, and we're wishing you a happy holiday.
Hi, this is Leslie Perino with EW Bullet wishing everyone happy holidays.
This is Riley from Drip Parlor Downtown wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
You want it? NFL football on ESPN Pensacola.
18.
Sunday, the Green Bay Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks at 7 p.m. The Seahawks lead the NFC West. Can Green Bay put a dent in that record? Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN Pensacola.
Had to balance it out, all right? I know Pensacola's a Navy town, so we came in with the Army hymn last segment. So we had to come back with the Navy this one. Balance. We're all about balance and keeping it fair and even here at the glass half full. So we're going to do that. Wanted to make sure our Navy people were taken care of along with the Army people. Big game coming up this weekend. And, of course, you can actually hear the Army-Navy game right here on ESPN Pensacola. That game going to get started at 1 o'clock. Definitely don't want to miss out on this. It's going to be a great game. I really do feel I think Pat was on to something. We were talking to Pat Combs just a moment ago. He's a board member from the American Legion, Frank Mortson post number 33, joining us to talk about this game. I think he's on to something. I think it's going to be a special teams play or a turnover or a safety or something like this that's really going to change the course. Because these two good football teams this year, right? I don't think they got the respect they should have as far as rankings go. Yes, they both lost to Notre Dame, but you look at what Army did to Tulane in the conference championship game last Friday night. They absolutely just wiped the floor and demolished them in that game. So I really do think that, these two teams, it's going to be a fun one, and I am definitely for sure looking forward to this. And again, like I said, you can catch the Army-Navy game, Navy-Army, however you want to say it. You can catch it right here with Westwood One's coverage starting at 1 o'clock. It is for sure going to be a fun time in Maryland for this game. And, of course, it's not the only game that we have tomorrow. We have our very first set of bowl games. That's right, bowl season starts tomorrow, and there's actually a team here from the area in a bowl game. That's right, South Alabama Jags going to be taking on the Broncos of Western Michigan. Right, they're the Broncos, right? Did I get that wrong? I feel like I'm correct on that. Yes, they are the Broncos. I had to double check because I was like, they're the same color as Wyoming. Am I getting them confused with Wyoming? But no, I'm actually right on that. So that is – all right, I got that right. I just had to double check. They will be taking on Western Michigan in this game. And honestly, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good game in the Salute to Veterans Bowl game. Right now, there's really no line for this game. I think it's – actually, yeah, there's an 8.5 favorite to USA right now. So South Alabama, the favorite. South Alabama's had an interesting season. They've had good moments, bad moments. Kind of started off a little rough, started 0-2, then they won two straight, then they lost two straight, then they won two straight. You see what I mean by it's been an up-and-down season, literally a roller coaster ride for the Jags. But they've had some big wins over there, obviously knocking off Troy 25-9 in that rivalry game, beating Southern Miss 35-14, beating Louisiana, who was a team that played for their conference championship in the Sun Belt just a week ago. They beat Louisiana 24-22 on the road in Louisiana. So some flashes of potential from this South Alabama team. And they're going to be taking on this Western Michigan team who they have – I don't think they've ever played Western Michigan. I really don't know if they've ever played together, but Western Michigan right there with them at 6-6 on the season. And kind of the opposite for Western Michigan. Western Michigan's 0-2, just like South Alabama did. But the difference, Western Michigan started off at Wisconsin, at Ohio State. Then they went on to Bethune, beat Bethune. They lost to Maryland by a touchdown. And then they just went on to roll out four straight wins to move to 5-3 on the season before losing three of their last four. They lost a 42-28 to Northern Illinois, 31-13 to Bowling Green, 16-14 to Central Michigan, and then they won their rivalry game over Eastern Michigan, 26-18. Eastern Michigan got that crazy, that's the gray field. You know, Boise's got the blue field. Eastern Michigan's got that gray field with the green end zones. I would like to go watch a game in person at these stadiums with these different color fields just to kind of see. Because there's like another team. I don't think it's Arkansas State. There's another team. Their color scheme is red and black, and they have a red field. That would be interesting to go check out as well. But yeah, so it's I think this is going to be a very evenly matched game between these two teams. It should be a lot of fun. But South Alabama, I got to go with South, right? I mean, they're right down the road. They're an hour away. They're, you know, they're our other school outside of UWF, who we are still proud and happy to be the flagship program for when it comes to football here in Pensacola. But, yeah, I mean, we've also got South Alabama right down the road. And, of course, we'll be over there in a few weeks for the Senior Bowl in Hancock-Whitney Stadium. And, of course, don't forget about the what is it, the bowl game that gets played over there. It's a new name this year, and I'm trying to figure it out. It's the 68 Ventures Bowl. That'll get played at Hancock-Whitney Stadium on December 26th, so the day after Christmas they'll get that one lined up and ready to go. But I'm going to go with South in this game over Western Michigan. I think it's going to be close. It should be a good one there in the Crampton Bowl game, in the Salute to Veterans Bowl game, in the Crampton Bowl, I should say, in Montgomery. So South Alabama kind of pretty much playing a home game with it being there in Montgomery, just having to travel up 65, just a few hours to Montgomery for that game. Our other bowl game, Jackson State, South Carolina State, that is the Cricket Celebration Bowl from Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I'm going to tell you what, before we were all kind of hanging out, all the radio stations here at ADX Communications were all part of Christmas parades last weekend. We did the Navarre Parade, and then we all went and kind of sat and got some food and watched some of the college football games happening, and did that before we went on to do the Milton Parade. And of course, this game was on, Jackson State playing last weekend, and the speed, the physicality, the aggression that Jackson State was playing with was honestly right up there with any of the top teams in college football that I've seen. Jackson State, Deion left, and Jackson State didn't miss a beat. They just kept getting good each and every year. They're a good football team. I don't know much. I will admit, I don't know a lot about South Carolina State. But from what I've seen from Jackson State, it's going to be tough to beat them in this game. So I definitely expect that to be a pretty good bowl game as well. And then, of course, we'll take a couple of days off before we have more bowl games coming up on Tuesday, December 17th. I like this one, that it's a new bowl game. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas at Toyota Stadium. I'm a big fan of Scooters Coffee. I love the Carmelicious out there, so shout out to Scooters. I think it's cool that they have their own bowl game. Definitely looking forward to that one. Memphis and West Virginia playing in that one. That should be a good one as well. So we got lots of great games coming up as far as college football goes, between bowl games, the Army-Navy, Navy-Army, however you want to say it, and, of course, the NFL, which, by the way, the NFL games you can hear on ESPN Pensacola this weekend. Packers at the Seahawks. That will be Sunday night at 7, and then Monday night we'll have the Bears taking on the Vikings, and that should be an interesting game right there. Could be a very close game, could be a blowout. We'll have to see how that works out. Real quick here, something else I want to switch gears to, and by the way, you are listening to The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. I want to look at some of the things happening in this week's NFL matchups and talk about some bold predictions that have been made. And I kind of want to – these are not my bold predictions. I want to give my opinion on these bold predictions because I thought some of these aren't that bold, and then there's a couple of them that actually intrigued me. We'll start with Josh Allen. He will lead the Bills to an upset win on the road over the 12-1 Detroit Lions. Bills offense, explosive. We saw them score 42 points in their loss against the Rams a week ago on Sunday. They've scored at least 30 points in 10 of the 13 games that they have played in this year. But, man, I don't know if I can go against that Lions defense. And I'm not sitting here saying that the Bills won't score 30 again. I'm just sitting here saying that if the Bills score 30, don't be surprised if the Lions score 35. And the reason they win that game is because that defense, when it's needed most late in that game, bows up and gets that one stop that they need. We talked about the Detroit Lions the other day when we were talking about our top 10 Super Bowl contenders at this point in the season. The Detroit Lions were number one. And a big part of it was because of their aggression and their physicality. And how even with injuries and the injuries that they've suffered, you know, losing a guy like Hutchinson on the defensive line, that's a big loss for them. That is a big loss for them there on their defensive line. They didn't miss a beat. They kept rolling through. So I find it very hard to go against this Detroit Lions defense, even against an offense like the Bills that's led by Josh Allen, who right now has pretty much taken over the MVP debate over Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, right? The way he's played the last couple of weeks is, I don't know, look, if he's trying to show out for his new fiance, Haley Steinfeld, or what. By the way, congratulations to the happy couple. I don't know. It's definitely interesting to see. And it's, you know what, I will say, going back to the whole Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen thing, that's nice to see a professional athlete and somebody in the entertainment business that is in a relationship, but we don't have to constantly hear about it. Yeah, I said it. I went there with it. I went there and I bought real estate and I'm going to build a condo and move in. Deal with it. All right. I think we all can agree that it's getting old at this point. The beginning, it was, look at them. Great for them. Now it's like, yeah, we get it. It's okay. Cool. Are they not married yet? What? What are we doing? What are you doing, Travis? Well, I guess it's the cat's out of the bag now about who I'm talking about. Anyways, we'll get back on topic here. Josh Allen against the Detroit defense. I'm going to go with Detroit getting the win in this one over the weekend. I think the Detroit offense and defense together at home, just too good. Bills, it'll be close, but I like I said, the Lions are just too good. The Steelers will snap their 10-game road losing streak at the Eagles. This is one of those that, to me, is not that bold. With the way that the Steelers are playing now, Russell Wilson, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season. He's playing really well. Philly struggling to throw the football right now. Despite the fact that they are winning, they have a lot of question marks, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Lots of frustration within this Philadelphia team. I really do think that, between the passing game struggling, the protection for Jalen Hurts struggling, those are going to be issues against a very good Steelers team that, by the way, it's not just Russell Wilson and the offense getting it done for the Steelers. That defense is exactly what you would expect a defense to be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yes, the Steelers will beat the Eagles and snap that 10-game road losing streak at Philly this weekend. Patriots upset Cardinals in Arizona. Again, I wouldn't necessarily call it an upset. Neither one of these teams are good. Arizona 6-7. New England is 3-10. Arizona's lost 3 in a row. Kyler Murray's thrown 5 interceptions during that 3-game stretch. But Drake May is really turned it on and is playing really well for the Patriots the last few weeks, averaging about 209 yards a game, somewhere within there. Not turning the football over. That's the key. When you have Kyler Murray, who is turning the football over, and Drake May is not turning the football over, and the team seems to be kind of gelling around Drake May now, and they seem to be moving in the right direction. I think the Patriots win this game, even on the road in Arizona. They're playing better football right now. And if that trend continues into this weekend, then yeah, they will definitely get the win. Chiefs blow out Browns in a rare double-digit win. And yeah, it's rare for them this year to blow out a team like that. The Browns should be a team that the Chiefs blow out for sure. But for whatever reason, famous Jameis seems to be keeping them in games. So really for me, when I look at this game, it's not going to come down to Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to come down to Pacheco or Travis Kelce or any of these other guys for the Chiefs. It's going to come down to Jameis Winston. And what I mean by that is, how does Jameis Winston play in this game? Is he a turnover machine, throwing picks left and right like we saw a couple of weeks ago? If that's the case, then it's going to be a blowout for Kansas City for sure. But if he can control that, like I said, famous Jameis has been doing a good job of keeping the Browns in some of these games. I think if he can control not turning the football over, it could be a very, very interesting ball game. I think the Chiefs still win, but could be a lot closer than what they want it to be if Jameis Winston does not turn the football over. Alvin Kamara, our final one here. Alvin Kamara goes 8 consecutive game without a touchdown run. They're taking on the Commanders this weekend. The Saints are. His longest streak was 9 games back in 2019. This would be his 8th. I don't think he reaches his 8th. I think he gets it done. The Commanders have given up 36 rushing touchdowns on the season. That's not good for the Commanders' defense. I think Alvin Kamara finds the end zone for sure. That's going to do it for today's show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football games that we're going to have through Army, Navy, College Bowl games, the NFL. We'll talk about it all coming up Monday morning on the Glass Half Full.